Blog Talk Radio.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game. Played nowhere else on earth, it is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Coming now, buddy. We on our hearts all day long. Let's just kick this ball all day long. Pick it up. Don't stop. Pick it up. Let's go.
Pro football is a mirror of early America, reflecting toughness, courage, and self-denial.
There he is! Whoa! Whoa! Good job! Good job!
That's the way to make a play out there, buddy. Nice job.
Over Pirate 2. Ready? 45, left!
Yeah, 23!
45, left!
Keep on playing at this level now, huh? Keep it up, baby. Keep it up.
We're going to be here all day, baby!
Is this fun or what?
The game is wide open, not confined. X's and O's on a blackboard are translated into imagination on the field. It can be one man rising above the obscurity of the grim, no-glory duty of special teams. It is a lineman clawing through the carnage at the scrimmage line and devouring the quarterback.
Round right, box 2, run on set, ready?
The game is perpetual motion. A swirl of flying bodies in constant collision. A 2.5 hour carnival of color, sound, and action.
I got a little something for you.
There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life, and there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife.
Hey, touch.
But now's the time to work and strain the sport to test the spirit and challenges the brain.
Come on, let's go. Yeah, I'd like to have 75 degrees and sunny all the time too, but that's not football.
Do you fear the force of the wind, the slash of the rain?
We're gonna play it through light and rain.
Go face them and fight them. Be savage again.
This gun lights your firemen. The pilot lights out.
This football team is coming into our place. We're standing in our way.
This is a game of the heart. Focus and finish.
A time for achievement. A time for purpose. A time for glory.
Welcome in. Friday night, January 21st, 2011. NFC, AFC, championships on the line. Final Four in the National Football League. It all goes down Sunday. We're going to talk about it. Plus some moves in the National Football League as we get you ready for the NBA final push and the All-Star break that will be right around the corner for that. All this and more tonight on the fastest 30 minutes in sports. Are we having fun yet? That's what I want to know. 10:03 for your Friday night, January 21st, 2011. I'm your host, Vinny Moore. 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. We have talked the National Football League now for 18 weeks. We've gone up and down with great teams. 28 have departed the game, so to speak. Only four remain. The Pittsburgh Steelers, the New York Jets, the Green Bay Packers, the Chicago Bears. All my life, I think I just wanted to be able to get to a point where I could say, the Chicago Bears. I don't know. Those flashbacks of John Facenda and Sam Spence and all those great highlights. You know, I imagine in my in my younger days of watching Walter Payton soar over the lineman into the end zone. And then harshly reminded that when Matt Forte tried it recently that he's not Walter Payton. Then, of course, the vicious hits and the rivalry that is Packers and Bears. And, you know, all this week you've heard on radios around this nation talk from guys like Gale Sayers and Larry Kramer and all these great players that kind of come to build the over 180 games that these two teams have played, and just it's as much as it is hate, it's also a matter of respect. You know, Butkus can tell you that Nitschke tried to hurt him, and Kramer can tell you that Butkus wasn't the very nicest guy in the field, and yet and still there was such a great respect. You know, they just wanted to beat each other, and I think I heard Gilbert Brown even today say, it's like fighting your little brother. You know, you just want to put some boxing gloves on, go out back, and whichever one wins this fight gets the ice cream. Of course, there's a little bit more on the line this Sunday for those two teams. And, again, a lot of tonight, 10:05, will be talk of Packers-Bears. This is the Midwest. We are out of Chicago in this market. So not to discount Pittsburgh and the Jets, and not to discount some of the other things going on in the sports world. Matter of fact, let's take a quick little detour at 10:06 and get you caught up on what's going on in national basketball and what's going on with some of the coaches in the NFL. And then, as is always the case, we're going to jump right back into it. So for your NBA tonight, those games that are already final, Memphis a 115-110 winner over Houston, San Antonio 101-92 win over the Knicks, Milwaukee best Cleveland 102-88, Boston a 110-86 winner over Utah. New Orleans takes care of Atlanta 100-59. Am I seeing that right? The Hawks only put up 59 points. Wow. Phoenix a 109-91 win over Washington. Orlando a 112-72 win over Toronto. Toronto's just bad. The New Jersey Nets, now that they've given up on talk of getting Carmelo, go out there and beat Detroit 89-74. Games currently in progress. Sacramento has a one-point lead, 20-27. That first quarter just concluded. The Lakers are down 3 to the Nuggets, and that one just ended the first quarter. So that's it for your NBA love right now. A couple of things you need to be aware of in terms of the coaching carousel that now really gets started. Dave Wannstedt, who spent the last few years coaching the University of Pittsburgh, comes back to the NFL. He joins the Bills coaching staff as assistant coach and a coordinator. It is not clear as to what specifically he is. And, of course, the Cleveland Browns, you know, pulling things off the heap as well. Pull the ex-Bears coach Dick Duron out and look at him as the defensive coordinator. Also, Eric Mangini, who was bounced by Mike Holmgren of the Browns, is the leading candidate for a defensive coordinator in D.C. So that's your coaching carousel at 10:07. Now, I really, 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 really want to spend the bulk of this time. We're going to get to your ESPN Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, courtesy of ESPN Radio and Mike and Mike in the Morning. That's always a fun time. That's about 8 minutes away. Of course, your VIN picks for championship weekend. I guess that's what this is called. This is conference championships. But let's now talk about Pittsburgh and the New York Jets. And we can go by position. I guess that's always a little bit of fun. The quarterback position, what do you say about Ben Roethlisberger in the case going head-to-head against Mark Sanchez? Sanchez played out of his mind last week, 3 touchdowns in a game in New England. If he gets that kind of protection again, that kind of time. And, you know, of course, there's a big-time difference when you're playing a relatively soft New England Patriots defense versus the Pittsburgh Steelers and Troy Polamalu. Polamalu's going to play, and, you know, we've all seen the highlights of what he can do and how he basically follows and closes so quickly on the football. So look for Pittsburgh to basically force Mark Sanchez into some throws that he may not want to make. He may not want to actually make some migrations. But whatever happens in this game, going to be fun no matter what. Anyway, moving forward, excited about Big Ben, excited about Mark Sanchez, excited about what's going on with that game. It is going to be fun. It's going to be a great evening football. Now, that is the second game of the day, not the first. Again, the Bears-Packers will be the first game. That'll get off about 2 o'clock Central Time, 3 o'clock Eastern Time. About 6:30, you'll already know who's coming out of the NFC at that point, and you'll be ready and kind of geeked up to take on what the AFC is going to put out. So get your popcorn ready. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you've got DirecTV, fire it up. Make sure you've got your high-def screen on, got your snacks, got your brass, whatever it is you're going to do. Now, again, if you're a Steelers fan, You're looking forward to this. You're pretty excited about this. Obviously, you want to best the Jets, a team that took care of you during the regular season. If you're the New York Jets, you know, now it's time to put up or shut up. The reality is your defense is as advertised. At least they played like it last week. Shutting down Tom Brady and the New England Patriots was not easy, and you got it done. The other thing, the running games. LaDainian Tomlinson, fresh legs. Sean Green, fresh legs. You know, for Pittsburgh, Rashard Mendenhall, fresh legs right now. You know, Mawelde Moore may see a little playing time, fresh legs. So a lot of good things to come out of this game. In the passing game for both teams, Braylon Edwards, fresh legs. Antonio Holmes, ex-Steeler, wanting to prove himself that the Steelers made a mistake in letting him go. If you're on the other side, you're Mike Wallace, you want to show that you've replaced Antonio Holmes as the odds-on choice for the speed guy. If you're Hines Ward, you just want to show and prove that you're the guy to get it done. All right, so all goes down to Sunday night in the AFC. Jets, Steelers, going to be a lot of fun. But before you even get to Jets, Steelers, you got to see Bears, Packers. And we're going to do something a little different for our Midwestern fans. Again, I get the luxury of spending the day with Midwesterners, Bears fans, and Packers fans. There's so much love and respect on both sides. You know, even the trash talking has actually been kind of comical. I won't say it's been terribly subdued, but it's been a lot of fun this week. I told you all when the season started that I thought Green Bay was the best team in the National Football League. Then all the injuries hit them, and again, they kind of came back down to earth. Most of us picked the Bears to win, be about a 5-6 win team. Lo and behold, here they are in the NFC Championship game. Fortunately, uniquely enough for all of us as fans, we get to see a Bears-Packer game that means, you know, for all the marbles, as Gilbert Brown said, for all the ice cream. So let's talk the National Football Conference Championship Bears-Packers, and we're going to do this one a little differently because, again, we're a Midwestern show. We love our Midwestern thing, and there's so much hype around this that we're just going to have some fun with. So let's break it down. At the quarterback position, here you go. Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay, is the hottest quarterback left in the playoffs. 6 touchdowns, no interceptions, a 78% completion rate. Yet he has not faced a defense this postseason as good as the Bears. Now, if you recall, we had the same kind of conversation when New England was coming in. What was New England going to do with the Bears? All they did was shred the Bears. 45-3, this game was over by halftime. Okay. Rodgers has thrown for 545 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions against the Bears in the 2 games this season. So certainly he has the edge over Cutler, who, as we all know, has a propensity to want to throw the ball up. Is this the game that Jay Cutler turns into that turnover machine? Now, Green Bay sacked him 9 times, 6 in the season finale, and picked him off 3 times this season. If he continues to do enough to win, great. We'll see Chicago in the Super Bowl. But he has to remain upright, which means that offensive line has to take care of business. Now, to the running back. James Starks had a breakout game against the Eagles in the wild card round. But he wasn't a one-game flash. Well, again, the question certainly is, was he a one-game flash? 66 yards against Atlanta. He gave the Packers some balance, but, you know, Brandon Jackson, John Kuhn are nice compliments. You really pining your hopes to a James Starks, and on the other side of things, Matt Forte, the Bears' most dangerous offensive threat, as documented by all the pundits. 150 combined rush and pass yards versus Green Bay in the season finale, 134 total yards versus Seattle in the divisional round. He is not a huge scoring threat, but he is incredibly vital. Managing time of possession, managing tempo, that is Matt Forte's job, and he does it incredibly well. The edge there, and again, if the initial edge in quarterback goes to Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, the edge in the running game definitely goes to Chicago. The wide receivers, Greg Jennings coming off a season-high 8-catch game versus Atlanta, and he averaged a season-high 24 yards per catch in the finale against Chicago. Jennings and Donald Driver could be used more on quick routes against the Bears' pressure against the Bears' pressure defense. Keep in mind that field will be an issue. The cold will be an issue. At some point, this group has to get us to referring to the Bears. Tight end Greg Olsen, receivers Johnny Knox, Devin Hester, they have to be accounted for, as does, again, Matt Forte out of the backfield. They function well as a group. Knox and Olsen are the most reliable threats, and they have played well against Green Bay. Again, but for as far as if you were comparing receivers, come on now, you got to give that edge to Green Bay. The offensive lines. Tackles Chad Clifton and Brian Bulaga have had good postseasons in the running and passing games. But Bulaga at right tackle coming off a dominant game against Atlanta, the line has allowed 4 playoff sacks, and it's held up well against Chicago this season. On the flip side, the Bears' offensive line. Right tackle Jamarcus Webb is going to be tested in the running game and the passing game, and he has to be at his best. This is a rookie, but the entire unit has played well. The Packers sacked Cutler 6 times in Week 17, and Cutler was taken down 3 times by Seattle in divisional round. The Bears will have to true that up if they contend on getting to Dallas as we move forward. 10:15 for your Friday night, fast 30 minutes in sports. Moving along to the defense now. It can't be said enough. Defensive end Cullen Jenkins is one of the most underrated players in the National Football League. He's highly disruptive against the run and unselfish enough to occupy double teams so guys like Clay Matthews can get to the quarterback. You're going to compare that to what the Bears bring to the table. Julius Peppers and Israel Adonis, they haven't had much luck getting to Rodgers, and they'll have to be disciplined in their rush lanes because of his evasiveness. Peppers and the defensive tackle Tommy Harris need to be dominant in the run game, shutting down Starks, Kuhn, and whoever they throw out there. And at some point, you've got to put some licks on Aaron Rodgers. In the last game, Week 17, the Bears found a way to slow that offense down. They must continue that, so the defensive line edge definitely goes to Chicago. The linebackers. Eric Walden has had 4 sacks, 3 in the final against the Bears, and 4 starts. Matthews, meanwhile, is on a tear, giving Green Bay a major pass rushing threat against any team, and again, causes all kinds of headaches. The flip side is Lance Briggs has gotten stronger as the season has progressed and is literally dominant right now. He'll be tested in coverage as the Packers put a lot of stress on the outside linebackers with tight ends and slot receivers. Urlacher must be absolutely huge in this game, and I mean huge. Pisatino Uisamoah cannot be out of gaps, cannot be in the wrong spots. The Packers will burn you. In the secondary, can we say Tremont Williams enough? As hot as Rodgers is on offense, cornerback Tremont Williams is tearing it up on defense. 3 postseason picks, safeties Charles Pepper and Nick Collins had big interceptions against the Bears in that season finale. Still not sold on that secondary. Sorry. Again, I know you got Charles Woodson back there, but he's basically chasing down Jay Cutler. You know, the Bears and Mike Martz may find a way to find some seams and exploit the overly aggressive Packers defense. Cornerback Timmy Jennings, this is the Bears secondary now. It's going to be tested. Packers have gone at smaller cornerbacks they faced this season, and Jennings, a scrappy player, is going to need help. At times, free safety Chris Harris could be a pivotal player. Keep in mind, Chris Harris, if he doesn't make that pick at the end of that Jets game, we may be having a whole different conversation right now. Not to say the Bears wouldn't be there, but, you know, a lot of things could certainly be different right now. So, Chris Harris absolutely vials that secondary. Special teams. You serious? Okay. Green Bay allowed Atlanta's Eric Weems to return a kickoff 102 yards. All the injuries this season have impacted the Packers' special teams, so they have to be extra disciplined in shoring up all their tackles. On the flip side with the Bears, well, let's just say Devin Hester. How about that? Without going into too much. Continues to influence field position. Green Bay likely won't put the ball in his hands, giving the Bears a shorter field to work with. Chicago's kicking game has to be sound and not give the Packers a short field. The coaching side, and yes, we're going to talk briefly about the coaching as well. McCarthy has come up with a ruthless game plans on offense, but Chicago has been one of the few teams to limit Green Bay from getting into rhythm. Defense coordinator Dom Capers will certainly break out some packages against the Bears that the Bears haven't seen, but they'll only work if the run game can be limited. On the Bears side, defensive line coach Rod Marinelli has the front playing at a dominant level, and head coach Lovie Smith's defensive schemes have worked. Offensive coordinator Mike Martz has to be patient against the defense because Green Bay has crushed teams when they go for the big strike. Overall, call it a toss-up. I mean, Green Bay, maybe it may have been 3-5 on the road entering the playoffs, having lost to Chicago early in the season. The Packers are now 5-5 on the road, and they're playing at a higher level than any team in the postseason and definitely have the most dangerous quarterback to boot. Chicago seems to be finding a way, and despite some of its shortcomings on offense, that's all that matters. Defense has to continue to dominate and get Rodgers to the ground. The familiarity with Green Bay and playing at home is huge. The Bears fear absolutely nothing about the Green Bay Packers. So, whew, what can I tell you? It's going to be a fun one. All right, 10:19. We start to wind it down the last 11 minutes. Let's not sugarcoat it. The bottom line is they're stone cold lead pipe locks, and they come to you now in 3, 2, 1.
The 17 weeks of the NFL season are now behind us.
Now, no mistakes, no penalties. Now, be smart.
Get ready for a playoff edition of the Stone Cold Lead Pipewalks.
Let's go, boys. Let's get one, man.
An exclusive presentation from Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN Radio.
Hi, Colic. Here we go for the NFL's Final Four weekend, and I will start with this.
You vacuum, toppy nose, mallowed, this is a beaut.
All of the love, all of the adulation, all of the admiration for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers has been well deserved.
Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback.
He has been brilliant. They have played extremely well, but I tell you what.
What?
I think it stops this weekend.
That sounds kind of crazy.
The Chicago Bears have been underrated, undersold, and underappreciated all year long.
That's right. Dunn was over Unger, and I was over Dunn.
But for the last 3 months, since they changed around the offensive philosophy, started protecting their quarterback, what a novel idea, started running the football, what a novel idea, and letting their defense win games, they've been the best team in the NFC. I'll say it again.
Please refrain from saying the phrase, what a novel idea.
Aside from one horrible performance against New England, they've been awfully good. They have nothing to play for the last week against Green Bay.
Nothing!
They have everything to play for this time. They're getting points at home. Give me the Bears plus 3.5. They're going to the Super Bowl.
We're
going to
get killed.
Oh, you don't know that for sure.
Yeah, I do. And it's going to be awful.
They're going to the Super Bowl, all right, to watch the Green Bay Packers play is how the Bears are going to the Super Bowl. Damn it! The Packers right now are the best team in the NFC. They're playing that way, and they're led by the best quarterback in the NFC right now in Aaron Rodgers. He's hot.
Jeez, look at the butt on that. Yeah.
He must work out.
The defense is playing fantastic. They're really the unsung MVPs of that team.
Clay Matthews at the bottom of the pile. He's got the football. It's Green Bay football.
They'll go to Chicago. They don't care. At home, on the road, in a dome, in the sun, in the cold. It doesn't matter. Green Bay Packers are the better team. They win this game, and they win it by more than 3.5 points.
Wow, you're good. What color am I thinking of?
Shut up!
It sounded like the Cat in the Hat to hear that in the cold, in the
sun. Like that?
I would not, in a box.
I do not like them, Ham. I am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
He does not like them, Ham. I am. He doesn't like green eggs and ham.
All right, go to the AFC game, and I will tell you this. I have to take the Steelers because I always pick against the Jets, and that helps them win.
Or it might be the offense or the defense or special teams.
Pittsburgh giving 3.5 points against my J-E-T-S Jets. I will give you the reasons I'm scared to death of this game. Well, I'll give you the biggest reason.
Yeah.
He's a Big Ben. Ben Roethlisberger is money in the playoffs, 9-2 all time.
You know, his nickname is money.
While Brady and Manning may historically be greater players, I'm not sure this is a tougher matchup that the Jets have seen so far in this postseason.
I want 10,000 tough guys, and I want 10,000 soft guys to make the tough guys look tougher.
This game scares me to death, Golic. The others did as well. This one is no exception. Yeah, you know what? I'm going the other way, Greeny. I'm going to J-E-T-S, Jets, your Jets. I'm a little shaky on it, but...
Your wide behind won't save you this time.
I'll say this. At the beginning of the year, what two teams did I pick to make the Super Bowl?
Jets, Packers.
So Green Bay is going to win, and your Jets are going to win as well. I love the way the defense has been playing. They've been playing how they need to win.
The Jets bring a blitz. He drops back, throws it left, and Deion Branch drops the ball!
And Sanchez... Give him credit. When it's been crunch time, he's been able to make the throw.
He's just now getting better and better and better.
So the Jets go to Pittsburgh again and get the win, and it's Green Bay and the J-E-T-S, Jets, in the Super Bowl.
Instantly, I regret saying that. That was a horrible thing to say.
And those are your conference championship weekend. So, go, let's hop!
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait. Oh, it's a nice job. Stone Cold Lead Pipewalks brought to you by Peak Antifreeze. When you peak, you win. Joaquin putting them together for us on the radio and on the TV side. Baklava Bethany and Paul Contador Ryan doing a very nice job putting those together. Again, the official picks. I have Chicago plus 3.5 at home. Golic is taking the Packers and giving the points. I am giving 3.5 with the Steelers, and Golic is taking the Jets and the points.
I'm a little shaky on that one. Again, I actually picked against the Jets the last two weekends. I'm going with them now because, quite honestly, they made it this far, and I have them making it to the Super Bowl. But I am a little shaky on that one, I will say, the way Pittsburgh is playing. And Greeny, it is unbelievable. As the lead pipe locks were running there, the amount of email that came in from people losing their minds because you picked the Bears, and they're Bear fans.
I'm looking at it here,
because,
Rick.
Yeah,
Greeny, you silly, stupid little man. You just screwed the Bears this weekend. We should ban you from your own show. William, I'm going to pretend Greenberg didn't pick the Bears, so we still have a chance to win.
Wow, it's unreal. I mean, right after you picked it, as we moved on to the next game, they started flying
in. There's also a lot of thank yous from the Packer fans. Listen, what can I tell you? Are my picks awful? Yes, they are. Does my picking Chicago probably work against them? Yes, it does. But I got to tell you what I think. I think the Bears, they played them twice dead even this year. They beat them on a Monday night at home. And then in a game in which they had nothing to play for at the very end of the season and played very vanilla scheme-wise, you know, they pitched a shutout for more than half that game and only gave up a total of 10 points against the red-hot Aaron Rodgers. And the Bears are going to be playing this game for their lives, and I think they have a real chance. I mean, to me, it comes down to Cutler. If Cutler plays well, I think that this is a dead-even game, and I think that the field conditions actually work to the Bears' advantage. I like the Bears to win this game.
No, I think the field conditions work to the offensive advantage. I don't know how you can just say the Bears, you know, advantage. I mean, there's two offenses out there, one for the Packers as well, and bad weather normally favors the offense. So I don't know how you don't think that.
I don't know how bad weather normally favors the offense.
Yeah.
The history of bad weather games in the NFL are usually 42-36. I don't think so.
17 weeks in the National Football League are complete. Divisional playoffs are out of the way. All the wild card chit-chatter is all completed. And we're down to four teams in the NFL. Packers, Bears, Steelers, Jets. Forget the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. This is the VinPix, home of the one and only place where you got 78% winners. Now it all comes down to two games. Two games in the National Football League this Sunday. Let's get it going. Packers at Bears. What do you say about this game other than this should be a Donnybrook? If the Packers do what they've done, this will be ugly, and it will be ugly early. Aaron Rodgers is playing out of his mind. Greg Jennings will get loose. Donald Lee will have a role. Mr. Jones will have a role. Mr. Starks, Mr. Kuhn, all will have roles in what could get really ugly should the Bears go down early. But the Chicago Bears have been a resilient team, significantly against the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay averaged 21.6 points a game against the rest of the National Football League. But against Chicago, they averaged 13 points a game. What is it about the Bears' defense? They fly to the ball. They play fundamentally sound in their gaps. And the reality is, they give Aaron Rodgers fits. If you will recall, halfway through the last game of the season, a game that Green Bay had to have, the Bears' defense simply pitched a shutout. Some adjustments were made, but even then, Green Bay only put up 10 points in that game. A game that, so far as the Chicago Bears were concerned, was largely irrelevant. Yet and still, they got some things sorted out. They tried some different things on offense. They didn't care if they put up any points. Let's go real talk. On paper, the Packers are the better team. Such is the case why Vegas is saying they're a 3.5-point favorite. Really? How many times have they been wrong so far? Yes, I'm a Chicago Bear homer. I humbly admit that to you. And I will tell you right now, I am looking forward to a Donnybrook game that I believe will come down to Robbie Gould's foot. I would love to see this game go 20-20 into overtime with a coin flip. I have no faith in the Packers special teams, and an immense amount of faith in Dave Tobe's group. We're talking about the punt game with Devin Hester, the cover game with Corey Graham. There's just way too many weapons on the special teams, and it will be a factor. The turf will be a factor. Now, again, if they were playing in a dome, this would be a no-brainer. This game would be over in no time. It would be all Green Bay. And I'll tell you, that's not a slap against Jay Cutler. The bottom line is, on paper, on a clean surface, all things being equal, the Packers are simply a better team. Strong on defense with Clay Matthews off the edge, A.J. Hawk making those defensive signals, Charles Woodson on the corner, Tremont Williams playing out of his mind. All these things are true, but I don't think that makes a difference on a sloppy track with two teams who won it. The Bears have historically done well in these situations. Cutler played out of his mind, yeah, albeit against Seattle, still in the cold, in the snow, and his first playoff game, and that typically does not happen. It bodes well for them going to this. Cutler thinks he's ready. The Bears believe they're ready. Green Bay says they're ready. Ought to be a great game. So who wins this wonderful game on Sunday? The early game starting at 2 o'clock Central? I'm telling you right now, my money going against Vegas is going on Jay Cutler's nose to win this game late off a Robbie Gould field goal. Bears 23-20 over Green Bay, and they go to the Super Bowl. Jets at Steelers. Well, the trash talking seems to have subsided dramatically. Rex Ryan has kind of calmed it down. He's even let Bart Scott kind of cool himself down. Mr. I can't wait to get to Pittsburgh. But in this game, you've got Big Ben Roethlisberger. You've got Mike Wallace. You've got Hines Ward. You've got Rashard Mendenhall. You've got an offensive line that, albeit is a little suspect, it does just enough to give Ben enough time. Of course, Big Ben tends to literally shred would-be sackers on him on a week-to-week basis. Besides Terrell Suggs, I mean, tell me the last guy that you could actually name that got Big Ben on the ground. He does take a lot of hits, but for whatever reason, that big body bounces those guys off him and still keeps plays alive, makes things happen down the field. So guys like Wallace, Sanders, Brown, and Hines Ward, the old Wiley veteran, will be on their toes because they know Big Ben will keep a play alive. But here comes the Jets defense, that same Jet defense that shut down the prolific offense of the New England Patriots. You cannot discount what that Jets defense did to Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. This will not be an easy game for Pittsburgh. Again, if we threw some scores out, if the score gets to be 21-10, 21-3 Pittsburgh, the Jets are not designed to come back. However, should the inverse be true and the Jets get up 20-10, 27-10, 27-14, Pittsburgh will have a difficult time with that defense trying to come back. All these things are being equal. You have some great, great football in line for this weekend. So who wins this game in Pittsburgh? Let me be the Mike Greenberg homer, all right? I believe that the Jets will find a way late off the foot of Nick Folk to maybe get this thing done. I like Pittsburgh on paper, but there's something going on with Rex Ryan and those Jets. Maybe it was the hard knocks. Maybe it was just all this talk with Cromartie, the Bart Scott. I don't know. There's something going on there. But I am looking forward to what I believe is going to be a Jets-Bears Super Bowl in Dallas. God, I hope I'm right. So who wins the game? Yes, the Jets. And I say the Jets in a tight one, 20-17 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. So your Super Bowl matchup in the VinPix world should be Jets at Bears. The Bears will be in the dark color, Jets will be in the white, and it should be a good one. That is the VinPix for, we're in January 21st, 2011. And remember, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. We'll see you next week with talks about the Super Bowl. Good night.